Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Moline. Later on the show, we'll preview the primary races in Illinois' 15th and 17th congressional districts just 1 week before the election, and a conversation with two Illinois poet laureates. But first, cases of the coronavirus have now spread to 35 states. That means an increasing number of workers across the country will have to stay home to care for themselves or a sick loved one. And for a majority of Americans, doing so could harm their paycheck. Just 12 states in the U.S. currently require employers to provide paid sick leave, and Illinois is not among them, although some cities like Chicago have passed their own measures. Our next guest, Robert Bruno, says that this lack of paid sick leave puts more people at risk during a global health crisis like the coronavirus. He's a professor of labor and employment relations at the University of Illinois. Professor Bruno, welcome back to the 21st.
It's nice to be back. Thank you, Brian.
Also joining us is Washington Post data reporter Christopher Ingram. He recently wrote about the economic costs of not offering paid sick leave. Christopher, welcome to the 21st.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Professor Bruno, let's start with you. Roughly one in four Americans has paid sick leave. Is that about how it looks here in Illinois?
The last estimates that we've had in Illinois actually indicate that roughly 44% of workers go without paid sick days. So that would certainly place us well above the number that you just cited. And in fact, that 44% number of workers without paid sick days is actually pretty comparable compared to many other states. So, you know, we have a sizable population here that does not have paid sick days. And if we were to be looking just at low-wage workers, if we were looking at workers in the service industry particularly, that number is probably higher than 7 in 10. So it's a considerable population that are vulnerable.
Now, Professor, Chicago did pass a measure requiring paid sick leave. What effect has that had on the numbers statewide?
Well, look, clearly Chicago's ordinance does provide substantial improvement, and the ordinance is a ordinance that really covers all firms. So Chicago took a step in the right direction and certainly does improve the record in Illinois. And in fact, factoring in the coverage in Chicago would reduce that number that I just cited. So that's an important clarification to make. But keep in mind that, I mean, that law was recently passed. Cook County, of course, has their own ordinance, but many jurisdiction chose to opt out. So to know exactly what that number is probably going to require just a bit more analysis. But clearly, Chicago took a step, a big step forward in reducing the number of workers who aren't entitled to any paid sick days.
Christopher, let's take a look at things nationally. Where do things stand with workers having paid sick leave, and how do things compare here in the United States, say, to some other countries around the world?
Sure. So just to clarify, the figure is roughly a quarter of American workers do not have paid sick leave.
Gotcha.
But as Professor Bruno mentioned, if you look at particular sectors, especially the service sector, restaurant workers, and especially part-time and low-wage workers, that figure gets much, much higher. Now, the United States is truly unique and exceptional among the world's wealthy countries. We are one of the only countries in the world that does not mandate paid sick leave on any level. And so as a result, you know, we have much higher percentages of people without sick leave. We're hearing lots of stories now about people, particularly in the service sectors, the people who handle our food, who take care of our children, who clean our workplaces and homes. They're having to make a very wrenching choice between getting paid and going to work sick or staying at home and trying to get healthy. It's a real challenge for us.
Professor Bruno, say a worker gets sick here in Illinois and they have to be out for 2 weeks, but their employer does not have sick leave. Are there any federal or state protections in place for those workers?
Well, if if the worker is in a enterprise that is covered under the Family Medical Leave Act, the federal law that provides up to 6 months of unpaid leave, then they could have some job protection. But if they don't otherwise have any earned income, any earned paid time off through their employer, then that would be time in which they're off work, but they have no earnings. Now, the Chicago ordinance does intersect with the federal with FMLA, and there's a way in which coverage is provided. But outside of Chicago, if workers aren't getting it through their employer, the federal law, again, only if it applies to the kinds of workplaces that they're in and that they've worked enough hours consistently over a period of time, all they're going to get is job protection, but not necessarily any income while they're off. So frankly, without some state or city provision, folks are going to be they're going to go without income and therefore, for the most part, have a difficult time using that unpaid leave.
Christopher, how much of an impact do you think paid sick leave policy in the U.S. will have on the spread of the coronavirus here?
You know, it's impossible to say for sure. The one thing I can say is that if you talk to public health experts, they say unequivocally that it will make it worse. There was one expert, a PhD student at MIT, who recently said the absence of paid sick days will create, quote, a near guarantee that workers will defy public health warnings and trudge into their workplaces regardless of symptoms. The CDC has studied this in past epidemics like H1N1 and the bird flu, and you know they've pulled out numbers like, you know, in some of these epidemics we have millions upon millions of more people sick simply because of people going to work sick. And they've also tried to run the numbers to figure out what kind of savings we might get if we did provide sick leave. And of course, employers, when they're thinking about sick leave, they're focused on their immediate bottom line, the cost of paying a worker to stay at home. That's very salient. You can calculate that right away. But when you look across the economy, the CDC has calculated that if we had paid sick leave nationwide, overall workplaces would save about $1 to $2 billion each year relative to what they're currently spending. So looking at the broader picture, there's real economic savings to be associated with paid sick time.
Yeah, and one thing that noting here in the state of Illinois, the General Assembly has introduced some paid sick leave legislation in the past, but it's never passed both chambers. It's also faced some opposition from business groups. For example, National Federation of Independent Business Illinois State Director Mark Grant has said that there are other things coming for small businesses like minimum wage hikes in the state that it could be difficult for small business owners to afford additionally offering some paid sick leave. I'd like to hear from both of you on that. Christopher, let's start with you. What does the data show? Could small businesses be able to handle something like this?
Yeah, well, it depends on how the program is structured, right? There are other countries do this in lots of different ways. Some countries, they have, you know, they have extra tax payments going in to afford these, or, you know, federal governments chip in a certain percentage. It all depends on how you structure this. Of course, you can structure this in a way that small businesses will be able to handle. They do it in literally every other country in the world. In fact, one of the most interesting things I found out recently is that the United States, you know, we often talk about our small business environment, how we say we're open for business, we're pro-business, but we have some of the lowest rates of small business formation in the world. And that is due to things to our attitudes like not only just health insurance coverage, but also sick time and how we treat our workers and how we handle people who need to be out of work. So, you know, I'm starting to think of this less in terms of the question of can we afford paid sick days and more in terms of the question of can we not afford paid sick days, especially at a time of coronavirus.
Professor Bruno, your thoughts?
Yeah. So I think a little bit of history of social policy would be helpful here. And you can go back really to the progressive era where there are discussions about increasing social welfare and addressing policies in the workplace to create some kind of a standard, some sort of floor. And incrementally, while the U.S. is certainly well behind other industrialized democracies in creating protective measures for people at work, we have made, you know, some incremental changes like minimum wage, workers' compensation, and such. And whenever such a policy's been proposed, and this is true of any kind of a healthcare policy, go back to Truman talking about universal healthcare. But whenever such a policy is discussed, typically there is a significant pushback that comes from the private sector, that comes from the business community, from conservative political groups claiming that the sky is going to fall. This was said about Medicaid, this was said about Medicare, this was said about Social Security. And in every single case, the sky not only didn't fall, but firms were competitive, the economy grew strong, and life went on, and conditions were incrementally improved. And if you just looked at what has been done in those cities that have passed paid parental leave laws, or the few states that have done so, and looked at the numbers and the reports that have been done there, what you find is employers aren't being burdened, turnover has dropped, the savings to the firms have been significant, and the economic harm that is always thrown up is really a red herring, and there's simply no support amongst the history of social policy for such things, and there's no reason to believe this would be any different in this particular case.
Christopher, back to you here. There's been a lot of discussion with the flu in relation to this. Obviously, they're different illnesses, but I understand you looked into the relationship between mandatory paid sick leave and flu rates. What did researchers find in cities that have established mandatory paid sick leave?
Yeah, there was this really interesting study recently done. As Dr. Bruno has mentioned, a number of big cities in the past decade or so, they've started to just go ahead and implement their own pay leave policies because they see a need for it. These researchers that studied it, they looked at cities that did implement these policies versus similar cities that did not. What they found was that in cities that did these policies, when you had a flu outbreak after the policy went into effect, that outbreak was up to 40% less severe. So you're talking many thousands, even millions of fewer patients infected with the flu in cities that implemented these policies. So certainly from a public health angle, if paid sick days, if you look at them as a tool to reduce infection rates among the population, the data says they are great for doing that.
And Professor Bruno, I'm curious, you know, you're talking about some past policies, more progressive policies that have been implemented for businesses, in terms of Social Security, mm-hmm. Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera. As you look at something like mandatory paid sick leave here, what do you think might be the best way to implement something like this where it would be able to be implemented without having a negative effect on small businesses?
Well, I think it would be a good idea to certainly learn from what has occurred in other jurisdictions, take a good hard look at how they have structured paid parental leave, how they have funded it. In a number of cases, there have been the application of a small payroll tax that has funded it. So I think we can look at some of this past social policy. I think we can actually talk about it from the perspective of what's good for the general well-being. We can talk about it as important to health care and well-being so that people really understand the need to give workers this opportunity to take care of themselves when they're sick. And I think making an equity argument, frankly, Brian, as we've talked about, you know, large Fortune 500 companies, big companies, people holding professional occupations are far more likely to have paid time off. But when we're talking about folks who are, you know, being paid somewhere between the minimum wage up to about the median wage, they're far less likely to have these kinds of benefits. And those workers tend to be people of color. Many of them are women, and they are the people who really provide us with the services that help to support and fuel the ability of our economy to run day in and day out. So I think talking about it as a moral issue, as an equity issue, as a healthcare issue, and then also appreciating that it doesn't do economic harm, and then borrowing from what other states have done, and putting together a program that could be incrementally improved upon. Or we could look at the possibility of creating public options. The state of Illinois could look at, well, what would a public option like plan be? What would the effect be like? We could model that out. We could look at what was once called Romney Care before it became Obamacare in Massachusetts. We can look at what other states have attempted to do, and put those into effect. And it strikes me that's a holistic strategy that can make the best case for overcoming some political opposition.
Robert Bruno is a professor of labor and employment relations at the University of Illinois. Christopher Ingram, a data reporter with the Washington Post. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.